Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Pat Caputo, along with Evan Jenkins, the webmaster. And at 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, we do a podcast every week. It's called Bustin' Balls. It's about drafts, prospects, and the future for all the four major team professional sports. And obviously, we focus a lot on the NFL draft. Don't forget to subscribe to us, like us, all those different things, wherever you get your podcasts. And Evan, the Combine, it's Combine Week. It's where they run around get tested. And a lot of people get their first real glimpse of the draft simply from the Combine. I know some people watch the Senior Bowl practices and some other things. But the Combine is the first thing that comes up here where it really gets into the weeds. Somebody will run a 4.3 or something. Mm-hmm. They'll move up. Somebody who's supposed to be really good doesn't run as well, and they'll move back. But it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me because it's really about how they play football ultimately. Some of the best cornerbacks and receivers in the league have been, you know, 4.5, 4.6 runners, and some of the biggest busts have been those 4.2, 4.3 guys. And I still can't figure out what the bench press means. If you got shorter arms, you can bench press a lot more. So, and having longer arms is better for you if you're a lineman. So just looking at the draft as it is right now, I look at it. Everybody thinks Caleb Williams is going to go number one. Are the Bears going to trade the pick? I just wrote a column here for Odyssey.com on that because Justin Fields is such a polarizing figure. And he could go somewhere and haunt the Bears big time.
I
love Caleb Williams as a player. I thought he played well this year. He had a bad game against Notre Dame that was probably the most viewed game that he played all year. He had another game against Utah, which he hung in there like crazy, but got the crap beat out of him. And by the end of the year, he was sobbing in a towel because the season didn't go well. But actually, he played individually pretty well. I don't think Lincoln Riley, that'll be something he'll put on his mantle as a great year as a coach out there. And defensively, that team was terrible. So it wasn't on Caleb Williams. He played well. So I still like him as a number one pick. It's between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I like both of those guys quite a bit as quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy's somebody that there's a diversity of opinion on among the quarterbacks. But what the most interesting position I find in this draft is wide receiver. It's possible, maybe even probable, that the first six picks will either be quarterbacks or wide receivers. Marvin Harrison from Ohio State that a lot of people know about. And, you know, certainly his father was a great player, and he's a much bigger version of his father. And you have Malik Nabers from LSU, who's extraordinarily talented. And you have Romo Odunze from Washington. If he runs a fast 40, he may vault above both those guys because he was an incredibly productive receiver. So it's just one of those situations where it's going to sort out. And I think the combine will probably separate some. And the other part of the draft that's pretty deep, and there are going to be a lot of players taken early, I think, are cornerbacks. What do you think the value of cornerbacks is in the NFL? Because they rarely get taken that early, and when they do, it's kind of a polarizing pick, and I don't understand why, because it seems like it's maybe, in some ways, the most difficult position to actually fill.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that all too well here in Detroit with the Lions taking Jeffrey Okuda third overall a few years ago. But it is, I mean, you can go all the way back to, like, Deion Sanders, who's, like, one of the best at his position all time, and he was a fifth overall pick, and that was probably scrutinized at the time for being that high with the players.
Charles Woodson, yeah. Was about the same time, and there weren't cornerbacks taken in the top five picks for many years. Nobody, you mentioned the Lions with Okuda, they were in a position where taking a cornerback third was such an outlier. Yep. Hadn't been a cornerback taken third or higher since Springs by Dallas in the 90s. So, yep. And yet, what good team really doesn't have corners, you know, especially these days?
Well, and I think corner is very intriguing, too, because I feel like in college, the system can really make the player more so than the player making the system. And, like, if there's a guy that's used to zone and you come into the NFL and they want you to play man most of the time, I mean, that's probably not the guy that you want to go get. And I feel like teams more or less are more confident taking a player a little bit further down than they are high. Now, Seattle did take Devin Witherspoon. Was that last year or the year before? Fifth overall.
Last year, yeah.
And he's turned out to be one hell of a player. But then you can go look at them on the same team and look at, was it Tariq Woolen or whatever his name was, that was later in the draft, and he was up there for Rookie of the Year most of the year 2 years ago.
Well, Tariq Woolen, to me, is and taken by Seattle, to me, is a contrast that I find kind of fascinating. Because Tariq Woolen, when he was at Texas San Antonio, was just an absolute freak when it came down to foot speed, jumping ability, all the tangibles you want in a corner. He was considered raw, but he was on a great team, but it was a mid-major team. And it was a complete opposite of Seattle when they drafted Richard Sherman about the same time in the draft, where Richard Sherman ran the 26th out of the 32 teams or 32 corners that ran at the combine. He ran like a 4.58 or something. And he was one of the great cornerbacks of his generation. And Woolen, first thing he does is come in the league and have an immediate impact, but it's because of his skill.
Yeah.
So it's often hard to tell. One of the things with corners, you need size. That's why I like Quentin Mitchell so much from Toledo, because he's 6'2", and he can play outside. If you look at free agency, there's a ton of slot corners available, but the outside corners, teams get them and they keep them. There's no way that you're going to see Jalen Johnson turned loose or some of the better corners that are in the NFL right now that are up for unrestricted free agency. I think if you want a corner, you have to draft them. And you have to draft them fairly early, not necessarily in the top 15, but if you got a pick later on in the first round and you're a team that needs corners and you're a contending team, and that's been one of your weaknesses. The Lions in Detroit, for example, are of that. They need corners desperately. You can't wait until your second pick, because there's usually a run on cornerbacks late in the first round and early in the second round. That's usually the sweet spot for them to be taken. And this year there's a lot of corners that I really like, but, you know, Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville was tremendous at the Senior Bowl. I mentioned Mitchell. He's the best corner as far as I'm concerned in the draft. But when you take a corner like, say, Mitchell or any player now, have they been devalued if they're not on a Power 5 team? Because any good player on a Group of 5 team now seems to immediately try to transfer to a Power 5 team.
Sure. I also wonder, too, because, I mean, you'll see corners that go like Byron Jones, I think, is a prime example, who went and ran this 4.240, did a broad jump of 9 feet or something like that, and he never lived up to the hype. But I feel like corner yes, you need the intangibles when it comes to height, weight, speed. But at the same time, I think it's an instinctive position.
Absolutely.
That you need to kind of guess and be right more so than you are wrong. Because, I mean, the receiver has the advantage knowing where he's going, obviously. So I think you need smarts. You need the talent. But sometimes people look at the blazing speed and guess what? That tenth of a second, if the guy's already by you, it really doesn't help you catch up in the grand scheme of things.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. It's also about your ability to play the ball in the air.
Yeah.
There are so many players at the college level that if you got a really good receiver, if you look at Neighbors or you look at Harrison or you look at Dobbs, or not Dobbs, Odunze, who have caught passes that in the NFL corners would stop those passes because they play the ball much better in the air. The contested balls or the balls that are close. And the other part of it is the ability to shift directions quickly. And the other part of playing corner, you have to go up sometimes and take on a tight end or a guard pulling to set the edge. And when you're 170, 180, 190 pounds, you know, you're taking on somebody that's a lot heavier than you. And the ability to fit yourself into space and make tackles low and be like a bullet coming in there is a big factor for corners. And obviously safeties, because they're the last line of defense. And I think safety's an undervalued position a lot of times in the NFL draft. If you don't have good safeties at that last line of defense, you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I think it's very intriguing because the more and more you look at like mocks and everything, you see some players like a Cooper DeJean from Iowa that's going to go in the first round probably late. And he's a question mark to me too because he broke his leg during the year. And
right.
I don't know how much stock you want to put into a guy that's coming off a broken leg. Well, what do you think about Wiggins from Clemson? Do you like his game, Pat?
Yeah, he's pretty good. It'll be difficult to tell how it's going to translate, like all corners.
Yes.
But he's a player that's definitely belongs in the first round as far as I'm concerned, late in the first round. You mentioned DeJean. He's an interesting player simply because of his freakish athletic ability.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about somebody that was, I think he was the second or third all-time leading scorer in the history of Iowa high school basketball. And could have played Division I basketball, and he's got a little of of the Mac McClung thing going when you look at his highlights from his high school basketball.
Oh, really? I got a lot of now.
I mean, they're not like he's doing like the 360 dunks over his head like McClung, but he's always dunking in the game. You know, he goes right over dudes and the Iowa high school league and just dunks over them with one hand jams. So he's an extraordinary athlete and freakish. So, and really, the corners, the ones I'm having trouble trying to discern, I like Wiggins a lot, and I like Rankinshaw from Missouri a lot. He's a corner that reminds me quite a bit of some of the better corners in the league because of his size-speed equation. But and he wasn't that productive. He didn't intercept that many passes and all that, but you can see where it'll translate. I don't know about Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I don't know about Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. It's always hard because those guys are on such great teams and they get so much notoriety, sometimes to figure out where they'll be. Like if you watch Quentin Mitchell play at Toledo or you saw him in the Senior Bowl, you know exactly what he is because you know what's around him. It just sticks out like a sore thumb. It's very difficult watching Alabama play Georgia and try to sort out who is who sometimes. Because there's so many good players on those teams and so many NFL prospects. And I haven't really gotten a good line on them. So the corners. And I would say it's not the best draft for edge rushers.
Yeah, that usually you see one of those guys in the top five year after year after year. And this year it seems like they're all at the latter stage of the first round.
Well, a lot of people – I don't know about Turner from Alabama. I'm not so Verse from Florida State, you know, he was the name that everybody talked about coming in the year, and he's a nice player, but I don't see him necessarily being a dominant edge like some of them that have come into the league recently. And the teams are going to have to make a decision on different edges in free agency You know, for example, Barnes is out there, Burns from Carolina. Yeah, you'd rather, you know, take a flyer and maybe sign him rather than, especially with the extra cap space now, than draft an edge. Because edges, this is one of my pet peeves about edges. If you have an edge who can't do anything else and he doesn't get home, he's basically worthless. It's like watching Chase Young for Washington for a couple years and then some with San Francisco, at least until he made some plays against the Lions in the NFC Championship game. It's like, what else does he do?
Yeah.
So what makes an edge really good is if he's a three-down player. Like Burns is a three-down player. You look at T.J. Watt from the Steelers. He's a three-down player. Aiden Hutchinson, over 1,000 snaps for the Lions. Those are the type of players that I think have real value. Because you know they're not just specialists. They're not one-trick ponies. Even if that is the most important part of defense is the pass rush, I think you still need good all-around players there. So it isn't just about the edge.
Yeah, and I think too we're seeing the term edge thrown around with, you know, outside linebackers and not necessarily your true DN that's playing with his hand in the ground. And I think that position has evolved a little bit with, you know, the Khalil Macks of the world that are getting home like that. But you're right, because that's such a different position, because that guy can also play coverage like you were just talking about. But what about the other beefy dudes? What about the D-line and the offensive line? Like, it seems like this year's draft is really going to be, early on at least, favoring the skill positions. But it seems like the obvious first tackle that's getting drafted is Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Do you agree with that, Pat?
Absolutely. And Fashanu from Penn State is an outstanding player. He's a great player. So those two players are head and shoulders above others when it comes down to the offensive tackles, in my opinion. And if a team is in need of that, those players are there, take them, because both of them are, put them at left tackle. Even if you got a left tackle, you can put them at right tackle. But you're going to put them in your line, and they'll be there for 10, 12 years. So those are the two gold chips in the draft. I love Alt and love Fashanu. Not so much sold on the other tackles that are available. A lot more difficult for me to discern whether they're going to be the real deal or not.
Yeah, now, what about defensive line, just in regards to – I see the kid from Missouri, the kid that's actually from, what, Canton, I believe, Canton, Michigan. Yeah. But it seems like defensive tackles are falling a little bit, too, where in years past – I mean, there's a kid from Texas. What's his name? Murphy, I think. He's a big one that's up there. What do you think about the defensive tackles in this year's draft?
Not a great year for it. There's no obvious player that you would take as an interior defensive lineman. Like Carter last year, that's just like off the charts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And out type of player. Again, it what happens with interior defensive linemen is they're very scheme specific. A lot of teams like to put somebody right on the nose and just have, you know, somebody who's like 340, 350 pounds in there, taking up space, keeping blockers off, and just getting hammered play after play. And they'll have a couple guys like that. And others want to have three technique tackles. And when a team runs a 3-4 defense most of the time, the sweet spot is they have a 350-pound nose guards, and then to have what you'd call like 275-pound, 280-pound defensive end types instead of two three-technique tackles like you see in a 4-3. And teams run both of everything. They're doing everything. Sometimes you'll see teams come out in a traditional 3-4 with two stand-up ends, like the old Oklahoma 5-2, which is defense they've been running in high school since the 40s and 50s when Bud Wilkinson developed it. It became the standard defense, and that is what a 3-4 is, two linebackers on the line. And so a lot of times once you get past the difference makers and you get to, hey, you just want a solid starter, or what they term a lot of times in the NFL is just a guy, you know, somebody you start but isn't really a difference maker, it often comes down to scheme specific. So yeah, there'll be interior defensive linemen that star out of this draft. But it's going to be difficult to decide it. I don't see any true difference makers or some dramatic sleeper that I have at that position. It's the same with linebacker in this draft. It's the same thing, you know.
Do you think, and this is a selfish question that I'm asking, that Michigan will set the all-time record for amount of players drafted in one draft this year? They have 18 kids that went to the combine.
Maybe. You know, a lot of teams look. It's different now.
Yeah,
it's different now. The Power Five teams, which I mentioned earlier, when you have a really good team, and Michigan did, you have the extra year of because of the COVID, players could stay and play. You've got the transfer portal. You're going to have stacked decks now of teams, and that'll be reflected in the draft. And Michigan may very well do that. And then they have, you know, a lot of underrated players that didn't get mentioned much, like Colston. He's a terrific player. Standerstrill is an older player, former wide receiver. I don't know if he's going to test off the charts. He's a little small and everything, but my gosh, was he productive. So those are the type of players. Zinner will go early in the draft, guard. He's pretty good. I don't see him lasting past the second day. So they got a number of players that Michigan had. There wasn't a coincidence that they ended up winning the national championship. Their talent level this past year was every bit of what Georgia's been in the past, and Alabama and Clemson when they won the championship, and Ohio State, which traditionally has done that. And the other thing about Michigan, their offense is more of a pro-style offense that they've been running. They pass the ball, but they do it second after establishing the run. And I don't know. It's like somebody like Roman Wilson, who was so good at the Senior Bowl, came out. So as being a much more versatile player and able to run a better route tree, but the route trees that they have are more like NFL route trees. That's why when I'm talking about J.J. McCarthy, how good is J.J. McCarthy? Because he didn't have high volume passes and everything, but he made a lot of NFL style throws this year to get first downs. Those third and seven and 10 yard pass into tight windows. And the question, how well do you throw a deep ball, things like that, really didn't get tested that much. Or when the team had to rely on him only to win the game, like Jaden Daniels. You know, he was Alabama's team, him and Neighbors and Thomas, the other receiver that they had, and chucking it all over the place. It's the same with Caleb Williams. You can see how he did when everything broke down around him. J.J. McCarthy doesn't have a lot on tape, where it was like a dire, desperate situation, and he had to do it. And the only thing that would remotely come close to that, I think, would be the TCU game, which he just had a bad game. They had a bad game. So it's really hard to say that. That's kind of like an outlier. You know, like when they judge divers, they take the highest score and the lowest score and throw it out and then look at the middle.
Yeah.
And that was his lowest score. So, but I think he's pretty good. So they've got a lot of players. I mean, there wasn't a mistake that they won the national championship. And it'll be like that Ohio State 1 year. It'll be Georgia 1 year.
Yeah.
It has been. The player that I think is the most interesting in this draft is Brock Bowers.
You know, it's intriguing, isn't it?
Is that going to translate to the NFL? Because I remember the first time I saw him play at Georgia, it was like one of those early games that they were beating the hell out of somebody. I can't think of who it was. And when he was a freshman, and I just looked at it and I said, who's number 19? Look at this guy. But has he grown, or is he still the same player he was as a freshman? And when he gets up against players in the NFL, is he going to be a dominant tight end? Will he be a Sam Laporta who came into the league and did so well?
Kyle Pitts. That's what I was going to say. Or is he Kyle Pitts?
Well, Kyle Pitts hasn't had a fair chance.
No, I don't think so.
You know, if Kyle Pitts had a quarterback, you know, that whole team would take over. Matter of fact, that's what I wrote here. For Odyssey.com, and the latest column is about Fields. If Fields goes to Atlanta, he's got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. That's a lot different than, you know, having Moore for 1 year and throwing to Cole Kmet, and you're the leading rusher on the team.
Right. You
know? So, I don't know if Bowers, you know, he's such a great college player, but is it like, hey, man, he was so great at 18, but he hasn't, you know, how players mature through times. And so he'll be fascinating for me. And I wonder when he'll get drafted. You know, tight ends?
He could be top 10 or he could be top 20.
I don't know, man. I have a feeling he may be a guy that slips. I don't know whether that's true or not. I think he's a fabulous player, but I find him quite interesting in this draft as Brock Bowers, the tight end.
Yeah. There's for sure going to be one guy that has an extra night booked in the city of Detroit because he expects to go on the first night and doesn't go until Friday. That will happen.
But, you know, like, say Brock Bowers drops all the way down to you and you're, a 23 or 24 and you're fine with your tight ends. Do you pass on a guy like that because of position? I mean, you know, how much does position still play into it? You know,
I was going to say, and now in today's NFL, I think the tight end is more important than they have ever been before. So more teams are likely to have a two tight end set than just run one out there.
And everybody's running 21 and 22 packages.
Yeah.
Nobody's running as a base offense, you know, spreads and running RPOs or anymore. That time is done. You know, that little fad that came in for a bit that really never took hold. So I just wonder about Bowers. To me, he's the most interesting player in this draft where he is taken. Because, you know, what would KC be without Travis Kelce? You know, I mean, come on.
You know, we don't know. It's crazy. You know,
I mean, he is absolutely fabulous, right? And when you look at the impact that a tight end coming into the league like Sam Laporta had, catching all those balls, I don't think the Lions, they would have lost a game or two more if they didn't have Sam Laporta.
And George Kittle,
man, you know, that's the ultimate freak, the ultimate outlier, because he is huge in the passing game, obviously, but he's an incredible blocker. You know, this is a guy who face-planted Aiden Hutchinson, you know. So, you know, you're sitting there looking at it, and you know, I kind of wonder about it with Bowers because he seems to be one of those generational talent tight ends. But, you know, if I was an NFL team and I was looking at it, I don't know. It's like if I had the 10th pick overall or something, had all these needs, would I take a tight end? You know, even I just, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Laporta went 42. Kelce was, a third rounder?
Yeah, I mean, look at Gronk. You know, he was the
Kittle,
same thing
a fifth rounder.
they're all pretty late except for, what, TJ Hockenson and Kyle Pitts, essentially, right now, that I can think of off the top of my head.
And Hockenson's a really good NFL player. He really is, but it's always about, well, he's eighth overall in the draft. And Pitts, like I said, I don't think he's really had a fair shake there. But, you know, he hasn't – it was like, man, he's such an outlier. He's such a great player. Mm-hmm. Take him. And he was.
Yeah.
But it hasn't done anything. So that tight end to me is a fascinating position. The other thing, don't look for any running backs to go to, like, the third round. I'm serious. The running backs, there are going to be a ton of receivers taken, a ton of corners taken, and everybody's going to wonder when the first running back is coming.
Yeah, and I think when the first one does go, you'll see like a rush of them go all at once.
Yeah, that's how it tends to go. And the other thing is the free agent class is filled with running backs. Josh Jacobs, if you wanted him. Saquon Barkley, if you wanted him. I mean, there's tons of backs out there that you can fill the need at running back and do it relatively cheaply for a premier player. So I'm not expecting running backs to be in great demand in this particular draft.
Hey, we're getting closer, man. I can't wait for it to happen. And it's in our backyard this year, Pat.
Yeah, we're located in Detroit. So it's absolutely incredible. But enjoy talking to y'all. Don't forget to subscribe to us. The Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store. Download us at Odyssey.com. Comment. We hope you give us a thumbs up. We'd love that. And just, you know, check us out. It's Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. I put the podcast on there. Evan's King of the KFC or KC on Twitter. And you can check out the Facebook page of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit and the Twitter account, or actually it's now X account. We always put it up there if you want it. And again, we do the NFL draft a lot, but also get into great detail on the NHL draft, the MLB draft, and the NBA draft. And as Evan likes to say, once it gets to be this time of the year, it's our time. Because you got a lot of drafts, and we go over all the different player development systems in different sports with a focus on the future. That's what we talk about, what the future is, not dwelling so much on the past. Till next time, we'll see you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.